Welcome to Newest, Latest, Best, the quick daily show to keep you in the know with all of the newest information, latest releases, and the very best that games have to offer. I'm Jeff Cannata, and today is Christmas Day, Monday, December 25th, 2017. Merry Christmas to one and all listening. Happy holidays if you celebrate a different holiday this time of year. I just wanted to say right here at the top that it's been such a pleasure doing this show and having all of you call in and contribute to the show and give such amazing feedback and commentary on what I do every single day here. Biting off a daily show has been a lot more intense than I anticipated, but it has been such a pleasure doing Newest, Latest, Best, and I'm so pleased to be able to speak to you and with you every single day. Your call-ins are a highlight of my day every day as I receive them, and it's been so fun doing a show that incorporates your feedback. And to that end, we will be doing another episode today as we march toward the end of 2017, where we look at your favorite games of the year. I asked you to send in call-ins with your top three games of 2017 and to include either a fourth game or one of your three that you think is a diamond in the rough, a dark horse, a pet game that probably won't be getting as much love as it deserves here at the end of the year. Probably won't be on many other people's end of the year list, but it deserves to be recognized nonetheless. A game that you consider a sleeper and should get more recognition as the same few games get tossed about at the end of the year. So let's dive right in and start with Tim, who's been a great contributor all year. He's got a great top list of 2017.
Hey Jeff, it's Tim. Just calling in for my top three games of the year. Apologies in advance. This might take a couple call-ins because I got a lot to say about these games here. First for me is Pyre. Loved this concept. Loved the guys who made Bastion here. It was one of my favorite games when it came out. Just very unique fantasy story, but using gameplay in the style of NBA Jam in terms of trying to win these games and save the exiles on your team. I thought that was pretty cool and unique. So anytime these guys that, I think it's Supergiant's their name, anytime they produce games like this, it's always something worth keeping an eye on. So I enjoyed that. Horizon Zero Dawn, end-to-end, just fantastic. Story-wise, setting, characters, the enemies, just the whole world, you got lost in there. And you just did not want to get out of it. Everything they did to keep you busy there was just fun. It was just a great experience to see and something fresh to see as an original IP. So I definitely put that in the top list as well. But I think for me, the top game this year is going to be Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. It was such a great experience story-wise and what this character, Senua, was going through. It didn't do anything big in terms of the gameplay, like very hack-and-slashy in the combat. Puzzle solving was pretty straightforward. Find the runes and you solve the puzzle. Where this was a personal connection for me, just in its discussions about mental health issues and what Senua was going through with psychosis. I don't tend to talk about this too much, but my dad last year had passed away from Alzheimer's, so I definitely could sympathize with the mental health issue going on here. Obviously, dealing with different conditions here between Alzheimer's and psychosis, but I always just looked at it as like both cases, like losing grip on reality. You could definitely see it in Senua, just the way the actress portrayed her and just seeing the pain and anguish she was going through dealing with these realities. It really connected with me in such a personal level that I think the Ninja Theory guys really did something special here. It was amazing.
Thanks for the fantastic list, Tim. I really appreciate it. Starting off with Pyre, I too am a huge fan of Supergiant games. I think that Bastion is really in my top games ever. Certainly my favorite games of a generation. I continually look back on Bastion, the Supergiant's first game, as a highlight of game design and tight mechanics, tight controls. It will always have that place in my heart. Their subsequent games, Transistor and Pyre, the one you mentioned, did not take hold like Bastion, but, you know, few games do. It's hard to hold a team up to what I consider to be a generational game, a game that really transcends its genre. So the fact that I don't think Transistor or Pyre hit that level does not mean that I don't think they are amazing games and unique. All of these games from Supergiant really doing something nobody else is doing. And I think Pyre is certainly a great example of that with regard to this very, very clever, very addictive central game mechanic, this almost a sport as a means of combat, means of progressing the story, the action. It's almost hockey. It's almost lacrosse. It's almost basketball. But it's couched in this very fantasy theme and doing something all its own. I mean, it's got some DNA of a MOBA. It's got some DNA of NBA Jam, but not really exactly any of those things. It's created its own feel. And that's a remarkable achievement. I just felt like the game overall didn't hook me, and I didn't find myself coming back over and over to it. I honestly think Pyre suffers from not having multiplayer. It feels like that central mechanic with an online multiplayer would have been transcendent. And they said they had no desire to do it. They couldn't, as a small team, couldn't really do the back end needed to create a multiplayer component to that game. It's a very intense, just from a pure resources standpoint, very intense endeavor to create a back end that would support that kind of thing. And they just weren't interested. So I honestly think the game would have been on more people's radar had you been able to play that against another player. But nonetheless, Pyre, a great pick, and one I think is worthy of mention here at the end of the year. Probably won't be mentioned by many others. A game that will be mentioned and mentioned by me over and over is Horizon Zero Dawn. I mean, you've heard me, if you've listened to this show, talk at length about my love of Horizon Zero Dawn and the way I think it just synthesizes all these wonderful systems that had been around before into something sublime. It is a real high mark and so unexpected from Guerrilla. You know, Guerrilla had made the Killzone games, which I think were not particularly standout for me. I mean, they were perfectly serviceable first-person shooters, but never felt like they had the soul of something like Horizon Zero Dawn, which really feels like a fresh, interesting world, a fresh, interesting take, something that really came from a place of love. And that shines through in Horizon Zero Dawn, a game that everybody should play, and a very great pick for your list. And thank you so much for the very personal things you had to say about how Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice spoke to you. Powerful things that you said, and I love the fact that a video game can speak to that. I don't think that has always been the case. I think just in the last several years here, we've seen video games take their rightful place, I think, as an art form that can speak to the human condition alongside other art forms. Whereas I do enjoy pure hand-eye coordination challenges that I think is where video games started, right, in the arcades with pure tests of hand-eye coordination. I still enjoy that. I think that has a place as well, and they're beautiful and wonderful experiences to be treasured. But the fact that video games now technologically are able to actually provide a canvas where artists can express something like Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice did, and a team that is working as lean and nimbly as Ninja Theory did with Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. I love the fact that we are now in an age where the tools are inexpensive enough. The assets, games are still very expensive, don't get me wrong. But the fact that Ninja Theory could create something that looks as AAA and high quality as Hellblade does on a smaller budget with a smaller team and was able to release the game at a lower price point, all of that stuff, I think, is a positive for the industry as a whole. And what a cool game and what a great way it spoke to you. I loved hearing about it. Thank you for sharing. Next up, because it's Christmas, I thought it would be a perfect time to play this call-in, which aims to do something a little different with the top three of the year. This is from my friend Danish, who speaks more to the memories that games have created this year for him, which I think is a wonderful sentiment and perfect for this Christmas day.
Hey Jeff, this is Danish from Chicago. I want to call in with something a little different. My top three gaming memories of 2017. Number three, lunchtime tournaments of Pyre. Pyre was a really cool fantasy sports mashup, kind of overlooked game this year. The campaign was good, but it had its pacing problems. The local multiplayer is where it was at. Me and friends from work would get together at lunch for months at a time playing this game and having a blast. Number two, Remembering Fear in Resident Evil 7 VR. I've always loved horror games and horror movies. I've devoured them all ever since I was a kid. But growing older, I've become jaded and nothing really scares me anymore, much to my regret. Resident Evil 7 in VR reminded me what it was like to be terrified. And number one, by a wide margin, controlling a starship with my friends in Star Trek Bridge Crew. Jeff, I know you play this. I don't need to tell you how good this game is, but no other game brought me this much joy this year.
Awesome list, Danish. Thank you so much for sending it in. And it synergizes just perfectly with Tim's discussion of Pyre and kind of what I was talking about, where I think, unfortunately, Pyre missed out on delivering that experience you describe of playing multiplayer matches on a larger scale because they didn't do online multiplayer. I played a couple of local multiplayer matches myself at events, but I never got a chance to play multiplayer at home because I just didn't have anybody to play with. But I love the fact that on your lunch hour, Danish, you played multiplayer Pyre, and I think that really shows the strength of that central mechanic that Supergiant did that captured Tim's imagination as well. And it is just fun, and it's really competitive and really balanced. It's just a shame that more people couldn't experience it as a competitive multiplayer game because it only supported local co-op. Resident Evil 7 is a game we've talked about a little bit already at the end of this year, and it's so cool that people are remembering it. It speaks to how memorable an experience it was because it came out in January of last year and still stuck with people. And yeah, in VR, there's nothing like it. I think I talked about this yesterday on our episode as well. It is a truly pulse-pounding, heart-wrenching experience to go through this world in VR and feel like you're actually inside that house, that horrible, disgusting, terrifying house. It's quite an experience. And I think if you've only played Resident Evil 7 outside of VR, you owe it to yourself, if you have any opportunity to play it in VR, to give it a shot, because there is nothing like it. And as Danish said, you will know fear. And I love, Danish, that your number one experience of the year was playing Star Trek Bridge Crew. I think over and above the fact that it's a fantastic VR experience, that it is that wish fulfillment of sitting on the bridge of the Starship Enterprise and living out that Star Trek fantasy that I've certainly always had as a little kid growing up watching Star Trek The Next Generation. But over and above that, it is also just a really slick cooperative game. I love the fact that we're kind of getting to this new genre that's just starting to emerge of everybody has a role and our shared success requires a cooperation and everybody doing their part. There's been a lot of cooperative games, but they're almost like single-player games that you play together, right? I can do all the great stuff. You can do all the great stuff. Let's do all the great stuff together. But with Star Trek Bridge Crew, and I think Sea of Thieves is on the horizon as well as being the next in this line of games, being a part of a team that requires everybody to do something differently and no one can do well unless everyone does their part, I think that is the next great frontier for cooperative games online, because there is something so wonderfully satisfying about doing your part and relying on your team and all coming together to accomplish a goal. So I think we're going to see more of these games in and out of VR, and I welcome it because they are so fun. And like Danish said, such a memorable experience. When you are clicking, even failing these games is so fun because you all fail together. And what a great message on Christmas Day. I wish you guys all the best. Let's all succeed and fail together. Well, hopefully the former. I'll talk to you tomorrow.